Jimmy Buffett is opening up a Margaritaville-themed retirement residence. There are places that serve alumni of certain universities. There's retirement residences for retired teachers, retired nuns, former stars of stage and silver screen, and even, I found one online, even for nudists. Sue Johansson is the Vice President of Partner Services at A Place for Mom, and she's here to talk about this big idea of themed retirement communities. She joins us from San Francisco. Hello there.
Hi, how are you?
This is more prominent of an idea in the United States, at least from my online research. Can you give us some examples of themed retirement residences that you've come across? Or did I just hit off all the interesting ones in my introduction there? Is that all there is to say?
No, absolutely not. Really, you know, senior living is about having seniors transition in the most comfortable way possible. So having themed senior living communities helps seniors feel more at home with other like-minded seniors, obviously. And so there are senior communities who have high concentration of pets for those seniors who are pet lovers. There are senior communities with an artistic bend. There are senior communities who serve the LGBTQ community, and many senior communities that are affiliated with universities so that they can take advantage of, some of the lectures that the universities offer. In addition, many of the communities offer university students the opportunity to get hands-on experience. So it's a great mix of young, vital energy from the students at the universities, getting real hand experience with seniors, and having the seniors be exposed to people who are passionate about working with them. So it really for a great dynamic.
Do you have any idea what market share these themed retirement residencies would have in the U.S.? Because I think for the most part, when I'm a Gen Xer, when my generation thinks about where our parents are going to be, really, it just seems like, where are we going to be able to find a spot, let alone a spot that allows for pets and university lectures?
Well, it's really becoming, more prominent than you might think. If you look at all the specialty senior living communities and you include things like university affiliated and pets and things like that, it's probably 40 to 50% of the marketplace right now. And senior living has changed so much in the last 10 years. There are luxury communities opening all the time that are really springing up to serve the baby boomer generation, which is just beginning to enter into retirement and senior living communities. So anything from virtual reality theaters to sushi bars, really anything that you can think of. I was at a community and the virtual reality theater was focused on a trip to Italy. And of course, then their dining room featured all Italian meals that evening. So it really is not your grandmother's senior living any longer.
It sounds like what we would think of as a cruise ship these days in terms
exactly.
of amenities and entertainment.
Exactly.
What is the cost paradigm when you start theming? Yeah. Is it more, same, or less? And I know I'm asking you to generalize, which is an impossible mm-hmm. thing to do given the range.
Sure. Yeah, I think, it depends on what it is again. So for pets, for instance, there are senior living communities at all levels that accept pets. When you start talking about things like virtual reality theaters or, lectures from Stanford University, those kinds of things, they tend to be affiliated with more upscale communities. So, the more upscale the amenities, like on a cruise ship, usually the more expensive the overall experience would be. But I would say that usually you can find something appropriate at all levels, depending on kind of the individual niche that you're looking for.
Do these themed residences, are they able to offer the same promise of continuity of care? And I ask because for a lot of seniors, they really need to be able to progress through the various stages that may be connected to their health. And I think it would sure. be dislocating for some to be, woo, I'm with my university alumni, and then all of a sudden I'm in, a very, very different scenario because of the dementia that I'm dealing with. How does continuity of care work in this environment?
Yeah, I think aging in place, which is kind of what you're talking about, is really important. And so, again, such a variety of options out there. I think really, the best thing to do for a senior looking for the right environment is to tour. And one of the things that you want to make sure you do is ask all the right questions. You know, A Place for Mom offers a document, and you can get them at a lot of places, that's called a Tips for Touring. You really want to find out when you tour someplace if you feel that affinity, if you feel like it's the right environment. And you want to prepare for the future. So you want to ask, do they have a memory care, you know, neighborhood in the community? Can they handle high acuity care? You know, what are the programs that the property offers for increased levels of care as a senior ages? And so I think they're not mutually exclusive. I think, again, it's community specific, but you want to make sure that you find those niche communities that fit from a lifestyle standpoint, and then ask the right questions about care so that you make ultimately the right decision.
When is the right time to do those tours? And I ask because if it's too early, there's a risk for the kids that the parents are going to think like they're trying to shovel them off somewhere. And if it's too late, it may be that, you know, we needed a spot yesterday and there isn't a spot, or, you know, it's harder to settle in at later periods in life for a whole bunch of reasons. Right. What wisdom would you have for when those tours should happen?
My philosophy is, and our philosophy at A Place for Mom is, that it's never too early to have the conversation with your parents, and it's never too early to tour. Better to have a solid plan in place so that everybody knows when you don't have any cognitive issues, when you've got your health, you're making great decisions, but also plan for what those milestone markers are. Oftentimes people will say, oh, at the death of a spouse, I don't want to live alone any longer, or when I can no longer drive, it's appropriate for me to move. So have the conversations early, set what your priorities are, and then be realistic about setting some milestones that may be time for you to make the move. You know, people need to plan for those things. And as you said, the earlier a senior can transition into senior living, the more that they're going to get the benefit. If you wait until somebody is very sick, very high acuity care, it's a very difficult time to transition. And there are, of course, all kinds of stats about why communal living is positive for seniors and the benefits they get from socialization, cognitive stimulation, the proper diet, medication management. All of those things are key to helping seniors live better longer.
How does A Place for Mom work? Do your associates visit residences, themed or otherwise? How do they make their recommendations, and how does your company make its money?
Sure. So we have senior living advisors that are local to their communities all across the country. They do
Canada as well. Canada and the U.S.
Canada as well. Exactly. Yep. Canada and the U.S. They go out to local communities. They get to know them. They work with seniors and the advisors at the communities all the time. So they've got great relationships. We have a CRM program that allows partners, the communities, to update things like activity schedules and menus. And so we keep really tuned into what the partners offer. We are free families throughout the U.S. and Canada, and we are paid from a partner community when a resident moves in. And also, our employees are not incented to earn more when they refer somebody to a very high-end community or a very low-end community. They are neutral to where that family ends up moving. So it allows us to be kind of third-party experts and not tied to any one particular community type.
Now, would that necessitate that you have relationships with every single community out there, wouldn't it? Or are there some communities that you wouldn't refer to because you don't have that relationship?
Well, both is true. So we don't work with every single community out there. We have a pretty pretty thorough licensing vetting. So we work only with licensed communities that don't have infractions from the state. So we keep current with our standards as well. And then there are some communities that tend to be constantly full that may not engage with us. In the U.S., I think we're at about 86% of all communities in the United States, and in Canada, we're newer to Canada, so I think it's roughly around 70%.
What are the risk factors of themed retirement residences? And what I mean by that is there can be the shiny, sparkly part that has you feel like, oh, this would be a perfect place for me. What are the things that you would ask a potential resident to really consider before they make a move to hang out with the teachers or the nuns or whatever the group affiliation is?
Right. I would, you know, again, it's about care management. It's about aging in place. It's about, you know, there may be a lot of nuns or teachers, whatever, but what are the activities? You know, not all nuns like to do the same things, and not all teachers are affiliated in the same way. So really getting, you know, we always say that it's great when you're going to tour a community, go at a mealtime. That's a couple of different reasons. First of all, like on a cruise ship, food is very important to people. Mm. Second, you get to see the entire population of the community together. So you see how you fit into the general, you know, residency of the community. And then the third is you get to see how the staff interacts with the residents and are they laughing? What are the relationships like? So really to do that, experience a meal, take a look at their activity schedule, meet with the medical director, ensure that, you know, if you've got some early cognitive issues and you know that, you know, that likely cognitive issues, dementia, Alzheimer's are going to be an issue for you, ensure that you really understand their programming and how that transition will work. When would you have to move apartments, or would you? All of those things are really important.
Sue, just for the record, my mom and I have done the tour, so we are set. I just wanted you to know that I walk the talk here.
I'm very happy.
Whew. Sue, thanks for your time.
You as well. Have a great day.
Sue Johansson is Vice President of Partner Services at A Place for Mom, and she was here to talk to us about some of the themed retirement residences that are becoming more of a thing.